Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's do the in-law dance. This is Wretched Radio. Wayne Mack writing a book, In-Laws Married with Parents, teaches the kids that are getting married, you got to put off and put on. The parents of the children need to put off, put on. Otherwise, you're going to clod your way through it. There will be disharmony. There will be more fights in everybody's home, more heartache and disappointment. Ain't nobody happy when you got in-law problems. So let's make our way through what the young people, the whippersnappers, the kids getting married need to put off and put on, courtesy of Wayne Mack. Children must leave behind an inordinate dependency on their parents when they get married. You got to leave them. And not depend on them and think, well, I'll just call mom and dad all day, every day to get advice. Mm-mm. Children must put off the natural imitative or reactionary relationship that they have with their parents. In other words, they should not automatically do things the same way that their parents did just because that's the way they're used to seeing their mothers and fathers do it. And if you're a mom and dad, you're like, come on! That's how we taught them. I know, that's how you do it. And if it doesn't have a Bible verse attached to it, in other words, it's not a command, it's just a preference, you've got to let the kids do home and marriage their way. Why? Because they've got a dance partner and they've come from a family background too. And if they don't both put these behind, they're going to clash. Tell me you didn't get into... This is just still humiliating to this day. I remember when we first got married, my wife's biggest problem is the way she folded bath towels. I mean, honestly, clearly she didn't know what she was doing. She went corner to corner. That's not the way to do it. You fold it in a third, then you fold it in the other third, and then you roll it up, and then you put it on the shelf with the round part facing out. So when you grab it, it's like you're at a hotel. That's how you fold towels. I had not put behind the way towels were folded in my family. And it caused grief. Boy, wish I'd read this booklet. Children must put off an inordinate reliance on their parents' approval. You can't be making decisions with your mate wanting mom and dad to be happy with you. Now, you should seek their wisdom. That is certain. But you just don't live for their approval. Wayne Mack says, a number of women say things like, if his mother wants him to do something, he goes right over and does it. But if I need something done, forget about it. Uh-oh. Perhaps that man has not left behind and is living too much for his mother's approval and not for his spouse's approval. Children must put off close and exclusive confidence with parents. In other words, their parents should not be the primary ones with whom they share all their secrets anymore. That's with your spouse. There are men who have this problem, but this aspect of leaving parents seems to be a bit more problematic for the Goyles. You put off a close and exclusive confidence with parents. Further, children must be willing to give up their traditions regarding family structure and function if Scripture does not command these traditions. We always put the stockings above the fireplace. What are you doing hanging them on the wall? Okay, that's your tradition. Rock on. But don't impose it on your kids. And kids need to be willing to leave it behind because you have got somebody else to consider. Be willing to give up traditions regarding family structures and function if Scripture does not command them. If it does, of course, then we're all submissive to that. Children must put off the tendency to play the blame game. As long as people, this is a little tricky, but as long as people play the blame game, my parents, they did this, they didn't do enough of that, I wasn't encouraged, they didn't let me go to, they didn't provide enough, we were poor. They're not leaving them as God intended, but remain attached. Harboring bitterness or resentment toward parents ties a person to your parents, and you're cutting those strings while still honoring them. When people stop blaming and condemning, they leave behind all the bitterness and resentment they've carried with them from their childhood. Now, the next question, of course, is how do you put things on? Because you never just take things off. Stop doing this. You need to start doing other things. Replace the bad with the good. Put off, put on. Children must put on a peer or friendship relationship with their parents. Oh, this one's hard for a lot of reasons. They've been your child for 18, 20, 22 years, or the average age kids are getting married these days, 39. Suddenly, we're supposed to be friends. It is hard for both parties because the kids can abuse it. Get real casual with mom and dad. Not honor them very much. And parents, on the other hand, can resist it and reject it because it's like, you just do what you're told. You're not like one of my peers. And that's another one of the challenges. You've got a generation gap. Don't overlook this. The things that you're interested in at 40 and 50 are not the same interests of a 25-year-old. And you've got to make that adjustment. If you don't, you're going to struggle. Children must put on a peer or friendship relationship with their kids. The relationship of dependency that people had with their parents as children must be replaced with peer relationships. Wayne gets into how to do that. You'll have to get the booklet, In-Laws. Children must accept responsibility for making their own decisions. After marriage, it is proper for the kids to seek the counsel of their parents. Now, however, the mothers and fathers should be regarded and respected as advisors and resources of wisdom rather than authority figures. Hey, how much do I hate that? A lot, because that's been my role. And apparently I liked it because I'm not real fond of giving it up, but give it up we must, and so must the kids. Children must put on the willingness to honestly and respectfully discuss their family backgrounds with their mates without becoming defensive. This is super helpful. In the back of this book on in-laws, Wayne Mack encourages this. I want to dive into all of these, but I'll just give you a taste of what he provides for us here. Discuss together your family of origin. Discuss these items and evaluate the similarities and differences that have affected you personally and how they could affect your marriage. This is so helpful because we bring all that stuff. This is how you fold towels, dear. Okay, now that I know, oh, that's how you folded your towels. I can think that through. I can figure it out and not be agitated because my wife doesn't fold bed towels the way my mommy did. Oh, man. Family occupations, blue collar versus white collar. Both parents work or just one works. Makes a difference when you're going to be making decisions about kids. We'll dive into that list another time. But for now, that's something that the children must be doing. Look at your family of origin further. You must put on the determination to make their mate, rather than their parents or anyone else, the most significant human being in their lives. A lot of people struggle with that. Further, children must be prepared to give their mate's parents the same respect and honor they give their own parents. Well, there's one for you. So my son-in-law is called upon to honor me and Mrs. Friel the same way he honors his mom and dad. Seriously, have you heard any of this stuff before? How is it that we could have been so blind to the need for this sort of counsel? Here's some practical guidelines for leaving. Kids must not allow their parents to demean their mate. If a mother accuses her son-in-law of something, wife comes to his defense. Second, we should always look for ways to commend and build up our mate to our parents. Rather than running back to your parents to complain about what he did or what she doesn't do, how's about you say a good word about your parent? Otherwise, your parents are not going to be very fond of your spouse if all they hear are complaints about them. They're going to think that their little dumpling married poorly. He's the problem. Third, we should always make an effort to be sure that our mate feels included in family discussions and activities. Sometimes, without even realizing it, mates are treated as outsiders when family get together. Don't let that happen to your spouse. Remember, we're addressing the kids here. We haven't gotten to the adult, the parents yet. See? Just so you know, if you heard that and went, oh, he's calling us a kid, give us some grace. Just give us some grace. You're our kids, and that's just the way we see it. If the Lord lets me live long enough, my kids are going to be 50, and they're still going to be my kids. My kids. But you must make sure that you defend your spouse. You promote your spouse. You speak a good word about your spouse and make sure that they're included in discussion so that the family table doesn't turn into stories of yesteryear where they feel totally left out. Fourth, it is important for husbands and wives to choose a course of action together when problems arise with a parent. Ugh. Come up with the battle plan before you engage in the war. It's so helpful. These are different ways of preparing to leave your mother and father and how you must really leave your mother and father. I hope you will do these things, but we haven't addressed parents and what we must do as our children leave and cleave to their new spouse. We'll do that next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Right now, this very moment, something incredible is happening. A generous friend of the ministry looked at what we're doing and said, hey, let's pour some rocket fuel on this. They're matching every single gift through December the 31st up to $500,000. Think about that. Your gift doesn't just support bold biblical teaching. It literally doubles in impact. So if you want to make your year-end giving count twice, just visit FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Breaking news. In a world where biblical truth is increasingly rare, Fortis Institute is actually expanding. And get this, churches are actually getting stronger through solid biblical teaching. And here's the story. Your gift gets doubled right now through a matching grant. That means twice the impact, twice the reach, twice the transformation. Think more resources, more teaching, more churches equipped with truth that matters. We're not just maintaining around here. We're growing. Visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. Hey, let's take a minute and talk about your Christmas shopping list. From now through Christmas, Fortis Institute is running a sale up to 75% off of everything in the Fortis store. Spend $75, we're going to throw in Thou Shalt Judge featuring Justin Peters and Todd Friel completely free. And we'll even cover shipping on orders over $75. Just visit FortisInstitute.org. And while everybody else is out panic buying scented candles and gift cards, you could actually be giving something that won't end up at next year's White Elephant Exchange. FortisInstitute.org.
We cannot disengage from the battle, and there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, this is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, you want to hear something crazy? There is someone out there who wants to match your generosity dollar for dollar. Fortis Institute has received a $500,000 matching grant. That means every gift you give between now and December the 31st, it gets doubled. Let me break it down for you. If you give $75, it becomes $150. You send $300, it turns to $600. Just visit FortisInstitute.org and watch your gift do double duty, because in a world where everything seems to cost twice as much, isn't it nice to have something worth twice as much instead?
Books of the Bible. 1 Samuel tells the story of God's interaction with Israel through the prophet Samuel. When Israel asked for an earthly king, God gave them Saul, who, like Israel, drifted from God's law.
So God commanded Samuel to anoint a new king, David, who was a man after God's heart. God does not look on the outward appearance, but on the heart. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now that we're done with the whippersnappers, this is Wretched Radio. Where was this book when we were getting married and doing the in-law dance? Wayne Mack writing, in-laws married with parents. The Bible reveals there's oodles of relationship in Scripture that are tumultuous between parents-in-law and the kids-in-law. Wa-in-law, fast forward to today, we still have these struggles. This book will help you navigate them because dynamics get super funky. They change radically and they move into places that initially you're uncomfortable. I didn't feel this way before. I used to really enjoy that with my kids. I have a picture on my phone. When my phone pops up, it is a picture of me, you know, my favorite image. And it's from 20 some years ago in the kitchen of our house with Emily on my lap. And my arms are just like, I'm like a cobra. Just, I've got her wrapped in there, and she's got her little head tipped to the side, like she's being held by Dad. But it changes all of a sudden. They become teenagers, then they get married, and we need to adjust. From Wayne Mack, here are some helps for you, Mom and Dad. First, parents must make sure the primary human relationship in their lives is with their spouse before your kids get married and after. Remember, leaving and cleaving, the most important relationship that we have outside of with Jesus Christ is with our spouse, not our kids, not the grandkids, with our spouse. If you're not cultivating that, going to be a lot harder when the kiddos leave. Second, as parents raise their children, they should prepare themselves for the time when they will leave them. You better, because it's going to be weird. And it's going to be a challenge, and you're going to feel a lot of stuff. You're going to feel loss. It's going to feel like a death. It's going to feel like one of your arms was cut off. You think those things through before they hit you like a tidal wave. Third, parents must prepare and train their children for leaving, giving them more and more responsibility as they become teenagers. You got to let them make decisions. Now, if it is a decision that they make that is immoral, you don't let them make it. But if it can be made without you, you should let them. I said that really fast, but you should chew on that long and hard. When your kids are old enough to make decisions, let them make as many as they can. If it's a mom or dad decision, they don't make it. But if it's a... Wayne Mack tells a great story. This will help you parent your teenagers. Teenager comes into the house. Hey, Dad, I want to get a. I think he wanted like the thing that the kids ride on, the motor scooter thingy. That's whatever. That all the other kids had it, and he wanted Dad to give him the stamp of approval. And instead, Wayne said, "Tell you what, why don't you write down all of the ways this decision will either glorify God or not glorify God, and then show me your list." Few days later, the son appears. Dad, I don't want to get that thing. The kid made the decision all by him. Dad didn't have to go, what are you nuts? You know how dangerous those things are? You know, we're not made out of money. Just because the kids down the street get them, you falling for peer pressure? Why don't you write down if this decision glorifies God or not? What are you doing? You're helping them be independent. It'll help them. And guess what? It will help you. And it was a dirt bike, by the way. I found it on page 25. Mom and Dad, get ready for your kids to leave. Fourthly, always keeping in mind that their children have been loaned to them from God. You don't own them. You're borrowing them from the Lord. Fifth, as parents raise their children, they must be careful to give them the right to respectfully disagree without being hurt or angry with them and without punishing them. Now, we're not talking about sin issues. We're talking about preference issues. Your kid, increasingly, as they mature, can say, you know, Dad, I don't think so. What do you mean you don't think so? I've been an adult longer than you've been alive. They can disagree because they're going to, when they get married, they're going to disagree a lot and do things very differently. Sixth, parents should help their children leave by accepting their child's mate as an equal to their own child. It's not my daughter and my son-in-law. No. They're in this relationship because they're one flesh. Don't forget, it affects you too, that one flesh relationship. Don't see them as the preferred and... Seventh, parents ought to seek to develop a proper peer relationship with their adult children. Ooh. This is hard, Mom and Dad. I'm telling you, swallow this pill because you're gonna. You're either going to swallow it with a big glass of water, or somebody is going to forcefully open up your mouth, take a blowgun, and just poof, the big pill down the back of your throat. Parents should influence their adult children primarily by example, and when necessary and biblically appropriate, through gentle, humble, and well-timed verbal counsel and advice. Lead by example. When it's really necessary, then you gently and winsomely offer counsel and advice. Parents should make it easy and desirable for their adult children to receive their perspectives on the issues that they are facing. Before seeking to instruct or correct children, and we're talking about adult children, parents should seriously pray that God would prepare them to receive and give counsel in a truly biblical manner. Before they instruct, they should consider how to answer rather than just blurt out whatever comes to mind. That's one of my gifts. They should make sure that their counsel is in keeping with Ephesians 4 and admonishes us to speak only that which is good according to the need of the moment, for the purpose of edification, ministering grace, to help our adult children. That is how we are supposed to engage with them. Guiding wisely, lovingly, thoughtfully, sparingly, and then you let them live their lives, unless you think they're in danger. As parents attempt to influence their adult children, they must use soft speech rather than hard, irritable words. They must appeal and persuade rather than demand and push. And by the way, there's a tendency for moms and dads to not do this when the in-law kid is there, but when that one's out of the picture, you can revert to being kind of, what are you doing? I just do not understand why you would move there. Why would you? What are you thinking? That's not the way we're supposed to be talking to our adult children. Parents must determine whether the issue they are addressing is actually a sinful pattern and not one of those things that Scripture says should be overlooked. Eighth, how you doing, Mom and Dad? Parents should be careful not to do anything such as criticize or nag that would weaken their children's marriage relationship. Instead, they ought to look for every opportunity to praise and encourage their child's spouse. And you'll find a joy in doing that. I have to confess to you, I actually do that a lot. Not because I'm so magnanimous, but I've got a great son-in-law. I'm happy to do it. It's really good to do it. You know what? It makes me feel better that my daughter is living with him. He's a good guy. Say it. Speak it. Encourage. Parents should have the same respect for their children's privacy as they do for anyone else they know. In other words, Mom and Dad, how do you treat your peer relationships regarding privacy? That's how you should treat your kids. Now, with that being said, let's close our discussion about in-laws with an encouragement from Wayne Mack in his book, In-Laws, Married with Parents. Kids, this is the letter you need to write to your mom and dad. It begins with, Dear Mom and Dad, I want to thank you for your love and devotion to me as a kid growing up, and then list all of the wonderful things. Tell them you're grateful. Then tell them at this time, a very important time in each of our lives, our relationship will change. Not deteriorate, but change. Scripture asserts that for the cause of marriage shall a man leave his father and mother. Well, that time has arrived in my life. So as a Christian, I will always honor you, appreciate you, respect you, pray for you, commend you, and seek to help you. But still God says I must leave. And in obedience to the God I love, I will do that. How helpful is that? If you're young and you're getting married and you just feel like they still treat me like kids, you have got so much power to help and bless your parents, and change the dynamic of your relationship. God says that next to my relationship to him, or perhaps I should say part of my relationship to him, my relationship with my spouse must become the priority relationship. I'm sure you'll agree. So from this time, we become one flesh. We want to have the relationship God intends and to be everything God wants us to be. I ask you to regard my spouse as a part of the family in the same way as you regard me. After all, we become one flesh. You have given me wisdom from God, and from time to time, I will be returning to you for counsel. And when we do, we will take your counsel seriously. But under God, we will think, search the scriptures, pray, and determine God's will for ourselves. We need your continued love and assistance, but God has called us to establish a new family for Christ, developing our own unique lifestyle within the framework of the scripture. We want to be your friends as well as your children. Please understand what I'm saying. I want to do what God wants us to do, and I still want our relationship to be loving and wonderful. And it captures the whole dynamic, doesn't it? I wonder if maybe you have a letter you need to write. This is Wretched Radio.